Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
And we're glad to be back with you here on another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley with you as we're covering all 32 teams heading into the draft. We'll talk about key losses, key additions, fantasy impact, some draft needs. Where are these teams at? What direction are they going in? Maybe some coaching changes, and we'll talk about the free agent additions that are big for them and those losses, as I said. Some not as big as others. Some teams just kind of let those players go. And as we'll look at the Seattle Seahawks here, the team that has gone to the Super Bowl now back to back seasons, they come up on the short end of the stick, though, in their second straight appearance in a loss to the New England Patriots. Before we talk about the end of the NFL season and the start of the 2015 NFL season, the MLB season, that starts next week. FanDuel has changed the way people play fantasy baseball. It's more fun than ever. Don't miss your chance to join before the season kicks off. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. The leader in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Those entry fees, they start at just $1. You don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. You can play today and win tonight. Pick a brand new team any day you want. There's no season-long commitment and no upfront fees. It makes every game exciting with FanDuel. And guys, what I like about FanDuel is you can play today and you can win immediately. So some of those leagues where maybe you have your entry fee locked up in September, or for baseball, obviously, you lock it up in March, and you don't know what's going to happen
you
until September.
Bad injury.
And then you're going, what do I do now? If you put money down on your FanDuel lineup, you can turn that into cash immediately, and maybe an entry fee in your season-long league, that's already paid for
already. I got to tell you, Matt, and look, I just did my first fantasy baseball draft this week, and I have Giancarlo Stanton as a keeper. I had a stacked team last year. I mean stacked. I was in first place in the regular season, and then Giancarlo Stanton gets hit with a pitch. And my team collapsed. My playoff success was nil. Doesn't happen in FanDuel. And I got one piece of advice, guys. I'm a longtime Philadelphia Phillies fan. Kyle Kendrick is starting opening day for the Colorado Rockies. Stack against them.
Yes, there you go. So you're even throwing out a little advice. Well, Eric Hafner, he turned $125. He's from California, and he turned that $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel's paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season. That is a lot of money. But you have to play to win, so you got to sign up today. You go to FanDuel.com, you click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and use our code. We have our own, Guru, G-U-R-U, and sign up now. We got a special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer's only good for the first 50 people that use our code, Guru. Don't forget to use our code, Guru. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Seattle Seahawks. Hey, Russell Wilson's working out with the Texas Rangers. I don't think he'll be any FanDuel lineups, but he is quite an athlete and two straight appearances in the Super Bowl. And does he now get a bump? And why would we even be talking about Russell Wilson getting a bump? Well, he was the number six quarterback last year in fantasy points per game, 23.5 fantasy points per game. That is a big jump over his first two seasons, 20.8 as a rookie, 20.7 in 2013, but 23.5 last year. And before we get into why he might get a bump, why did he bump up his stats? How did he bump up his stats last year? How about a career-high 3,475 passing yards? Not a big number, but still very strong. However, touchdowns down from 26 in his first two seasons to just 20 in 2014, but also a career-low in interceptions with 7. The big key for Russell Wilson, as we say many times, when in doubt, look for legs. A career-high in rushes, 118 times, for 849 yards. His next best was 539 in 2013 and 6 touchdowns. So nearly a 3-point difference between 2014 and 2013. And he did this, guys, with Percy Harvin being shipped away pretty quickly and arguably one of the worst receiving corps from top to bottom in football. Yet the numbers are there for Russell Wilson. So it's fair to say that the rushing numbers could be down a little bit after you put up career-high numbers. However, does it get boosted right back up with their big addition, the trade for Jimmy Graham?
Here's my problem. Look for legs with quarterbacks. Absolutely. Should Russell Wilson be a top 5, 6, 7 quarterback drafted in fantasy? Absolutely. But when a guy's going for 849 yards and 6 touchdowns on the ground, guys, I'm taking the under. That's a lot of production. He averaged over 7 yards a carry. I really can't say that he's going to do that again. And they went out and got Jimmy Graham so he doesn't have to do that again. Listen to this stat for Russell Wilson. He scored more points as a runner. Just as a runner. There's no receiving production in here. Than all but 35 running backs totaled. So that's running backs with rushing and receiving production. Russell Wilson was a better runner than Trent Richardson and Chris Johnson were in terms of just flat-out production. I don't know if you can anticipate him doing that again. He might not need to with Jimmy Graham, right, but just keep that in mind if you're using drafting Russell Wilson next year.
Yeah, I mean, he's never really had a great player to play with here. Like not Jimmy Graham, though.
Not even close.
Yes, I agree with you. He's not going to match that rushing production ever again, probably in his career. But he's never really had a player like this to play with. And we've seen Jimmy Graham, at times, he can carry an entire offense.
And we've seen the Seahawks put more on Wilson's plate, and we know he can handle it. 393 attempts in 2012 as a rookie, 407 in 2013, and 452 in 2014. That's not a big number at all, but it is moving up, and it's going that direction. And why wouldn't it continue to move up with a guy like Jimmy Graham? We saw some flashes from Luke Wilson, especially in the playoffs, but, you know, Doug Baldwin, we'll talk about him in a little bit. You know, Jermaine Kearse. They don't have a hell of a lot here to get excited about when you look at the receiving core. Doug Baldwin, Paul Richardson, Chris Matthews, who I guess we learned about in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Kevin Norwood. I mean, there's not much going on here. Jimmy Graham and Luke Wilson. So as we look here in terms of the key additions, well, Jimmy Graham's a big one, and let's talk about Graham. What does he now do for fantasy? What does he mean for fantasy? Joe, I know you've been pretty boisterous about your thoughts about Jimmy Graham and how much he drove you nuts, and some of that's on Graham, some of that's on Deshaun Payton and the Saints, but now he comes to a team here where you'd have to think there's no doubt about it. And maybe there shouldn't really have been a doubt about it in New England, but I guess in New Orleans, but it was enough of a pain in the ass to drive us nuts. But there's no doubt about it. He is absolutely the guy in the passing game. And you have a quarterback like Russell Wilson who's going to know how to get him the football. I would think they're going to tailor their offense a little bit more to Jimmy Graham. Now, as we'll talk about here in a little bit, Marshawn Lynch is back with this team. Kind of a slight upset there, but they knew they had to do a little bit more in the passing game. Well, not only are they going to do a little bit more, they should do a lot more with Jimmy Graham. But for fantasy, isn't Jimmy Graham still a top five guy, but yeah, maybe not the same upside anymore?
Here's what I'm hoping for with Jimmy Graham. I don't think we can anticipate the production to be there, guys. The bottom line production. 85, 8, 89, 10 last year for Jimmy Graham. Really, really good for a tight end. However, just a single 100-yard game, that came in week 2, and he was shut out twice. All I'm asking is to at least have a reasonable expectation of production from Jimmy Graham week in and week out, and you can say whatever the hell you want. You did not get that with the New Orleans Saints.
And that's a little scary going into this situation. Like we said, yeah, they don't have much at receiver. And we've seen at times over the last 2 years when defenses really go out of their way to shut him down, he's really struggled.
A nice key, though, is one of those defenses he doesn't have to worry about anymore except for in practice with the Seattle Seahawks.
Look, the injuries. Look, Jimmy Graham plays hurt. It's his job. He plays hurt. That's all well and good. But how many times over the last 3 seasons have we seen Jimmy Graham limp through a football game playing 40 to 50% of the snaps? I am sick and damn tired of seeing it, to be honest with you.
Now, as we said, part of that is on he plays through it, but also the Saints would have him in at weird times. He'd be in at the red zone, then he wouldn't be. Then he'd be in on an extra point, but he wouldn't be on the touchdown play before. It didn't make sense. I thought Sean Payton was just totally overthinking it a lot of the times, and then they move on from it.
If you're limiting a guy's snaps, and I'm totally cool with limiting a guy's snaps if he's playing hurt, which Graham clearly was at multiple times. But you raised the biggest example from last season. I distinctly remember Jimmy Graham not being on the field for a touchdown play from inside the 5-yard line, and then he was out there for the extra
point. You can't justify that. There's no justifying that of limiting snaps when you put him on the field in that position. And as we've learned with all the talk of the PATs, you don't need Jimmy Graham on the field to help block for a point after.
Yeah, that just didn't make sense to me. So here's my hope. Jimmy Graham, who played just around 70% of the snaps in New Orleans last year. And look, 70% sounds like a lot when you talk about some of the running backs and all that. But for top receivers and tight ends, that's a low number. That is a really low number.
Here's the thing with Jimmy Graham is, and we've talked about Rob Gronkowski on a previous podcast here for the Franchise Focus podcast, is that you took Rob Gronkowski. And he'll get back into that level again. But when he was healthy, you took him as a first, second round guy. Jimmy Graham has been in that conversation the last couple of years. He's coming off a season. Now, he's missed just one game the last 4 years. Let's give him credit for that. But as Joe mentioned, has been playing hurt. But 85 catches, not a bad number. But 889 yards is his lowest since 2010 when he was a rookie when he didn't play that much. And he drops down from 14.1 yards per catch in 2013 to 10.5, a career low. The 10 touchdowns are there. The issue here with Graham, and he goes from 19 fantasy points per game to 14.6. There's the problem. Your expectations are so high for Jimmy Graham, who was going in the end of the first, in the second round, that I have a lot bigger trouble justifying taking him that high. Whether he was in New Orleans once again or now Seattle, and I think now in Seattle, it's even a bigger question mark. Now, I think he'll be fine. I still think he's a top three, top four guy, but the expectations that we've had for this guy that were fairly high and should be high, I don't think can be there anymore.
Here's the reason I'm really bullish on this move for both Seattle. What? Being excited about this for Seattle is a no-brainer.
Of course.
Now, being excited about it for fantasy is a little bit more of a controversial opinion. I don't anticipate Graham's bottom-line production being what it was in New Orleans. But I actually think, guys, that he's going to be a little bit more consistent. And this is the comparison that I've made in my mind. Is he going to be Gronk? No. But I wonder if he can be Julius Thomas in Denver, where he's not catching a ton of passes, but he's making big plays, and he's scoring a ton of touchdowns, and he doesn't come off the field. And I think that's all you can ask in Seattle.
Even if that consistency is there, do you want to spend a second or third round pick on him, though? And I'm in that same camp. He's going from a Saints offense that love to throw the ball. All of a sudden, he's in Seattle. I like the move for Seattle, but I don't want a guy in the second or third round. How many times did you say they threw the ball last year? 450 times?
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to spend a second-round pick on a tight end, an offense that's going to throw the ball 450 times.
I feel there's going to be an efficiency factor here. Jimmy Graham's best when he is running straight down the seam, using his frame, catch balls. It's Russell Wilson's best throw. Russell Wilson's really good throwing the ball down the field between the numbers.
And they'll get him in space to go make those plays, and they'll have those shots. Now, they use them more as shot plays. I feel like this now will be more, instead of just shot plays, this will be a bigger part of the offense.
Russell Wilson, Darrell Bevell loves to roll Russell Wilson out, obviously. Why wouldn't you?
Oh, of course.
Play to your quarterback strengths. Jimmy Graham is going to be a big-time target on those plays. What you said, 10.5 yards per catch this past year, it's going way up. As long as he is not hurt.
10.5, which was down from 14.1.
But then to help justify Tom's point that doesn't want to spend a second or third-round pick on this guy, I like the fit in Seattle. I've already talked about that. The injuries are just sickening to me because he plays through them. And Jimmy Graham, you deserve every piece of credit in the world for playing through your injuries. But we play a bottom line game here. You don't get fantasy points for a guy playing through injuries. You get fantasy points for a guy playing 100% of the snaps and scoring touchdowns.
You're taking Graham to once again win the position. It's something we talked about, Rob Gronkowski. However, you're talking about a 3.2 fantasy point per game difference between Gronkowski as number one and Graham at number two. Now, even still, you look at that. Graham was number two. He still had a 0.7 fantasy point per game difference over Gates, who was third, almost a full point over Greg Olsen, who was fourth, and almost a full point over Julius Thomas, who was fifth. So there's still a divide there. I mean, if you get a Graham, you still expect to win that position every week. But as you've talked about, is it worth that cost? Because the tight end position is so fickle, and we've been hoping for some of these young guys to step up and be more reliable.
They all land in two tight end sets.
That's been all a problem. I mean, of the 12 tight ends this year, the top 12, Heath Miller was number 12 at 10 fantasy points per game. 12 tight ends average double-digit fantasy points. So there is that drop-off there from Gronk to Graham, and then maybe from Graham to almost everybody else. Is a guy like Travis Kelce going to move up? What about Julius Thomas? Graham.
See, I don't know about you guys.
I'm not ready to go there yet because I don't trust the Chiefs.
But I'd much rather have Travis Kelce in fifth or sixth
round. That's the key. From a value standpoint, where you're getting Kelce.
Is he
going to
be a fifth or sixth round pick? Travis Kelce, I'm telling you right now, the hype is going to be out of control on him.
Well, you know
by
what?
By the time the season
to show a picture of Andy Reid, and that'll calm down. But we'll be talking of Kansas City Chiefs. But now the rest of the offense here. We thought Marshawn Lynch might be a key loss, and he re-signed with the team, which was a bit of a surprise just because of how everything went, you know, whether it's off-the-field stuff or whatever. Hey, the guy was still money and got it done in a big way. Played every game, had a little issues here and there, had that back problem that – you kind of always worry about in the back of your head. Had some games where he didn't even bother starting the game because maybe on their call, maybe his call, maybe just making sure the back's okay. But a big season, 280 carries, just over 1,300 yards, 13 touchdowns, 4.7 yards per carry, and 37 catches for 367 yards, 4 touchdowns on 47 targets, 19.1 fantasy points per game. He was the number 5 running back this year. The receiving numbers were a very nice bonus, and it's something we've talked about in terms of lessons learned, which you're going to read about on the website at fantasyguru.com. But Marshawn Lynch isn't a guy you expect to carry his fantasy numbers with his receiving numbers. You know, you don't expect him to go, oh, well, he'll get me my 3 or 4 catches a game, but he's a threat to do so. His 37 catches the year before had 36. Near his career high of 47 in 2008, he's had at least 22 catches in every season except for his rookie year of 2007. So there's always a threat there. But this year, the most yards he's ever had through the year and the most touchdowns he's ever had and the second most targets at 47. I'm not expecting that, but it was a nice bonus. But the guy is still running his ass off.
And something has to be said that they don't really have that passing option out of the backfield.
Right.
So he gets those opportunities. And if you're going to get opportunities, he takes advantage of them. I mean, we've been waiting on these two backups, you know, Christine Michael and Robert Turbin, that start taking snaps away from him, start taking carries away from him. Just hasn't happened. The guy he's a bull.
Marshawn Lynch was a league winner this year. And if you drafted him, I believe you have us to thank. Not because we told you to get him, but because we helped drive his value down, which really is pissing me off that I was willingly taking Monty Ball over Marshawn Lynch before the season. What the living hell was I thinking?
Well, what the thing is, though, is you've talked about this with Arian Foster, is getting off the train early before getting off the train late. And when you see a guy who has carried the ball since coming to Seattle, 285, 315, 301, and now 280, 8 years in the league with another 280 carry season going back in 2007. There's a lot of tread there. I mean, that's going away.
Another 200 touches in the playoffs.
I was going to say, we got playoff games now.
Playoff games. So he's carried the ball less than 250 times, just 2 times in his career, and the target number has never dipped below 30 more than 2 times.
And look,
it's a lot of touches.
And he's back, and I think one of the things that really fooled us last year was the conversations from the Seahawks and the conversations from Marshawn Lynch. Oh, this might be my last year. They want him to take a pay cut. They drafted Christian Michael in the second round. Christian Michael, this isn't just, by the way, a really talented player who they picked up in the sixth round, and you're like, maybe they're stashing him for later. They drafted him in the second round.
Oh, yeah.
That is a really high pick.
When you use a pick like that, you have plans for that person.
So I think the reasons were there, but it was a complete miscalculation of just how freaking good Marshawn Lynch is and how important he is to this offense. And I'm very curious, guys, to see where he goes this year. Because I think across the board in the fantasy industry last year, he was a late first, early second round pick.
Yep.
Do people just be like, oh, we totally overthought it last year. We're dumbasses. We're going to move him back up our draft boards. And then does he burn you this year? I don't really know. And it's driving me nuts. Because as you mentioned, this guy has over 2,200 regular season touches. Counting his playoff touches, he's at about 2,400.
Yeah, all the evidence points to him breaking down.
He's 29.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he seems to be an outlier.
I hope these outliers continue to exist.
Yeah.
The Marshawn Lynches, the Frank Gores. I hope these guys
continue. Oh, sure. It's good for us. It's good for everybody.
It's good for everybody. It's good for keepers. It's good for the league.
But it makes the analysis a little tougher, though.
It does. It does make the analysis tougher, but maybe we need to wait for trends to establish themselves. But Marshawn Lynch is a great player on a team that builds around him. And maybe they go get Jimmy Graham to take some of that pressure off of Lynch. They should take some of the pressure off of him. I think they're a team, it's a very deep wide receiver class in the draft. They lost Paul Richardson to a torn ACL
that's
in
right.
the playoffs. They need to add a receiver to this group.
That's a problem there is the receiving core outside of Jimmy Graham, as we know about. That's something we have talked about, and that's what you have to worry about. And we've also asked you guys for your questions and use the hashtag FranchiseFocus and tweet them to us. And in fact, we have a question about Seattle Seahawks, and this comes to us from @_Sandman25. What's our opinion of Doug Baldwin? And yeah, that's pretty much it. And the only reason I think Doug Baldwin even gets talked about is because he's the quote number one fantasy wide receiver on a team with bad receivers. And that's the only reason Doug Baldwin gets brought up. If he's elsewhere and he's, a three or whatever, maybe if he's on the right team, you think about him. But 66, 825, 3 on 97 targets, caught 68% of his targets, career highs there in receptions, yards, and targets. But three TDs is tied for his low. And he was the number 51 wide receiver among PPR wide receivers at 10.5 fantasy points per game. Now, you hear double digits at running back, and you go, oh, I'll take that every week. But that's the number 51 receiver right there and the best fantasy receiver for the Seattle Seahawks last year. So I don't think there's much to get excited about here. Not
Does
a guy
the situation
I'm looking at
improve at all with Graham involved, though?
Probably
maybe
a little bit, yeah.
But maybe the hope is for a guy like Baldwin is that when you add a guy like Graham, that the passing game – well, that too, the one-on-ones, but – does it boost the passing game where we go, yeah, we should be throwing the football more? So are there more targets out there for Doug Baldwin? And it's not like they've added much else, as we've talked about.
And now they lost a first round.
And they lost a guy like Richardson. Right.
High pick on
exactly.
Receiver,
there's no first round pick here. Did pick up an extra fourth. And honestly.
But you don't expect them.
What? You can't,
second,
you
third,
can't
fourth
project
round to jump Doug Baldwin or meet him.
They drafted Kevin Norwood there last year. Here is how I feel about Doug Baldwin, and this is going to be a topic of discussion that I think we're going to hit on a lot over the summer. I will not draft Doug Baldwin, and here is why. It's not that I don't think he can help your fantasy team out. As we just mentioned, he caught 66 balls. That's going to be useful to a fantasy team some weeks.
Oh, go bench guys.
But here's my point. Doug Baldwin, you would think 9th, 10th, 11th round type of pick. I am going to this year use those picks that I would use spending on a Doug Baldwin or an Andrew Hawkins type to take a shot in the dark. And why? Because the first week or two of the season, I ain't starting Doug Baldwin anyway.
It's the same idea of why you don't take kickers and defense in the 9th or 10th round. I'll go get that later because I know I can get it later. I'll get it in week one on Sunday morning.
There are Doug Baldwins on the waiver wire.
It's the same thing. Go get a diamond guy, a diamond in the rough, a possible prospect.
Yeah, go get Sammy Coates, Jalen Strong, these guys. We saw Kelvin Benjamin. He was like 8th, 9th, 10th
round. You may have taken
guy.
Devontae Freeman in a spot like that last year and it didn't work out. But guess what? Who cares?
Keep taking that risk.
You weren't going, but I got Doug Baldwin. That guy got Devontae Freeman. Nobody was
you
saying that.
You could have picked up Andrew Hawkins or Greg Jennings or anybody in that category off the waiver wire to fill that number three receiver spot when you needed it filled. I am not drafting a guy in the 10th, 11th round who is like my fifth receiver who I think has the ceiling of a number three. That's what you've got to understand. You might have drafted Odell Beckham Jr. in the 13th round thinking, well, if everything breaks right, I might have a number two. You never imagine what might have gone, what went right with him. But there's no reason, in my opinion, to draft a Doug freaking Baldwin at that spot.
As we get into the draft needs here, remember, they traded Max Unger in the Graham deal, their center, and the number 31 pick. So they don't have that first-round pick. And I guess you'd say they replaced Byron Maxwell with Kerry Williams. They kind of flipped spots there in Philadelphia and Seattle. But what does Seattle look to? I mean, are they looking still at wide receiver? You know, they have Turbin, they have Michael. You bring Marshawn back. They seem to be somewhat set. Maybe they look at receiver with Richardson going down. But is this a team that still looks to reload that defense yet again?
This is a team that needs depth. And I look at the roster and I don't see a lot of weaknesses. Even losing Byron Maxwell, getting Kerry Williams. And by the way, I think Kerry Williams probably will succeed in Seattle. Because it's just a much better environment. Maybe he wasn't cut out to be the number one in Philadelphia, but he's going to be the number two. I guess right now you say he's the favorite to start at corner over Tharald Simon. I think offensive line is always a position.
And they showed some weaknesses on the offensive line last year.
I would say that's number one.
That we haven't seen in a while. So, and we got to remember here, this is probably Russell Wilson's last season as a – a small contract guy. He's going to be getting paid next
summer. That's coming soon.
So they're going to want to, upgrade that offensive line before you start putting a big investment in Russell Wilson next summer. So I think that's probably the spot where they, look to on that second day since they don't have that first-round pick.
This is a team that really likes its late-round corners, by the way. You're like, oh, they need to replace Byron Maxwell. Well, Byron Maxwell was like a sixth-round pick.
Right.
Richard Sherman was a fifth.
Yeah.
They drafted a guy by the name of Eric Pinkins last year, who was a sixth-round pick. Jeremy Lane, who is going to be out likely till midseason with the broken arm and the torn ACL suffered on the same play in the Super Bowl, he was a sixth-round pick. So it's easy to come out and say, oh, they lost Maxwell. Good corner draft. They're going to use their second-rounder on one. I wouldn't Not be like so it. Sure of that.
Not like
our franchise focus podcast will continue up through the draft as we already get geared up for the NFL season to begin in a couple months, but MLB season starts next week. FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy baseball. It's more fun than ever, and you don't want to miss your chance. Sign up now. Play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. They're the leader in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Those entry fees, they start at just $1. You don't have to wait all season long. You can play and immediately win. You put a lineup in, and you'll know by that night, hey, I'm bringing home a little cash tonight. And you can pick a brand new team any day you want. There's none of that season-long commitment, none of those upfront fees. And as we know, guys, the baseball season, you can pick guys off, that are maybe in the minors right now and end up being important pitchers in June or May, and then the trades that happen, those can throw your leagues into a tizzy. What if you play in an AL or NL-only league, and your guy gets traded to the other league? See you later. You're not worried about that guy anymore. You don't have to worry about that on FanDuel.
Yeah, and also, they have leagues that are just NL-AL-only.
Right.
Maybe you're in a mixed
league. And you only have to do it for one night.
And you
want
to go play just an NL roster set.
Right.
So you can just do that for one night. Hey, if you like to play, like to watch the late night games with Vince Scully,
perfect.
You can do lineups with just late night games.
You're just setting lineups to watch Vince Scully. Exactly. I love that idea. This is my Scully lineup for tonight, everyone. Yes, I love that idea. There's a lot of different ways you can make it fun and play. Eric Hafner certainly did that. He's from California, and he turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. They're paying out more than $2.5 million every single day during the MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Here's the important stuff. You go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Here's the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FANDUEL.com. C-O-M, FanDuel.com. Sign up today. As I said, we took a question on the podcast already. If you want to get your question in, as we do each and every one of these teams between now and the start of the NFL draft and the final podcast, we'll go all the way up to pick number one. So our last podcast will be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that will be up before the draft gets underway, before they are officially on the clock. We will have that podcast up. And if you want to get questions in on these podcasts, use the hashtag FranchiseFocus. And you want to tweet those to us at FantasyGuruSite. You can tweet me at the Matt Camp. Tom, your Twitter for everybody.
FG underscore Brawley, and that's B-R-O-L-L-E-Y.
And of course, Joe, your Twitter as well.
At FG underscore Dolan, D-O-L-A-N.
Get those into us. We'll be letting you know. Stay tuned to those Twitter handles, specifically at Fantasy Guru Site, to see when the teams we will be talking about.
It's
when
not much of a secret. It's reverse draft
order. Yeah, pretty much go by that. I know there's some teams that don't have picks, like the Seattle Seahawks, as we just did. We'll fill them in as is. So if you want to know when these are coming out, we're going to be doing multiple podcasts pretty much every day leading up to the draft, at least one a day, most of the time two during the week, weekdays only, leading all the way up to the draft. So we will announce when we'll be recording these and what team we'll be talking about, and you can get your questions in. But if you think of a question now about the Bucs, send it in to us. Use that hashtag FranchiseFocus. Make sure you check out the pre-draft rookie report. Tom and Joe worked hard on that one. And, of course, you can check out the post-free agency podcast with John Hansen and Greg Cosell. They'll be setting up a pre-draft podcast eventually coming up. That's a big one. Greg's all fired up. He's not paying attention to anything going on TV. He's turning
Except
the tape
for
on.
One Direction.
He's a big One Direction guy, as we know, but he's turning the tape on. He's studying these guys up. He's not worried about, you know, he's a first round talent. He goes, you know, if your team needs a player, then you know what? If they take him in the first round, then yeah, I guess he is a first round talent. He is turning the tape on and breaking it down without any outside of distractions. So plenty of content for you in the off season for the NFL, because we know the fantasy football offseason, it never ends. Well, that'll do it for this edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast. We looked at the Seattle Seahawks today. You can check out our podcast about the New England Patriots and all 30 of our Franchise Focus podcasts coming up right here at FantasyGuru.com. So for Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for a whole lot more of the Franchise Focus Podcast series right here at FantasyGuru.com.